being prepared to put the correct numbers in the Article 26 section. And so if Senator Berglund and Representative Huntley are ready with the amendment for Article 26, we're ready to take it.
Do you see public safety on there anywhere?
Be in the packets.
Senator Berglund.
We have a couple of amendments to Article 26. The first one is the A68 amendment.
Okay, why don't we move the article, Senator Cohen, and then she can move the amendments.
Okay, that's fine, Mr. Chairman. Would move adoption of the article.
Okay, Article 26. The amendment, I don't know if I have it here. Is that amendment that Senator Berglund was talking about been maybe in the booklet?
Thank you.
In the book?
Well,
you're talking about the article?
You're talking about an amendment to this that you described.
Amendment to Article 26 is an A68 amendment.
A68 is what we're looking for, okay. Been handed out now, members. I got two. I guess I got two somehow. Does everybody now have the A68 amendment that Senator Berglund referenced?
Does she want?
I think she wants. You're ready to move the amendment then? She was ready. You want to move it?
Okay, I'd move the amendment, the A68 amendment, if, Mr. Chairman, if that's been distributed.
It has been, I think. Everybody have the A26? Okay, A68. Senator Cohen moves the amendment. Senator Berglund, any comments about it?
The A68 amendment deals with the permanent 1% nursing facility COLA. It reinstates it changes items in the rider article to delay certain hospital payments from fiscal year 08 to fiscal year 09 and moves some of the funding that we had in fiscal year from fiscal year 10 to fiscal year 09 in relationship to the CD fund account, the health boards, and the EMS account.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Senator Fredrickson?
Senator Berglund, this is the A68 amendment.
Oh.
And the one I have is nursing facility rate increases and 1%. I'm confused.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I was describing two amendments as if they were combined. So the A60.
This one seems to be Senator Berglund, one that deals with the nursing
Home COLA, right.
Yeah, and you said there is a second one coming, and So this is the nursing home COLA.
Right.
Okay, and either you or Representative Huntley, then this is the 2%, if I recall, it's
the 1%. Mr. Chair, it's the 1% permanent addition on top of the 2% that we did last year, that's in the bill from last year, and then a one-time, basically, bonus.
1% bonus. Okay, that's what's essentially
and
in this.
And we're putting it into rider language, but it's the same.
Okay, any discussion then on the amendment? Representative Rukavina.
Huntley, I know, how does it work for a collective bargaining agreement then? Do they,
there's a number of amendments.
Where you, on page 2 there on line 2.14 through 2.16, it says it doesn't apply. You're just trusting that the union's going to negotiate this then, or negotiate it higher. I don't. Why is language needed?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Take a look at this.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Rukavina, we're going to have to get you on this committee sometime soon.
I love it.
Compensation.
We have in statute how to divide the money we provide between the amount that would be available for salaries and benefits and the amount that the nursing home might keep to use for other purposes. Facilities that have a collective bargaining agreement are exempt from that division and are allowed to collectively bargain for the wages based on however they want to do that.
Okay, any further discussion? Senator
Chairman,
Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, would either Representative Huntley or Senator Berglund help me understand how this works? There's a 1% increase. I understand that. And then paragraph B says 75% of the money resulting from the rate in adjustment under paragraph A must be used for increases in compensation-related costs for employees directly employed by the nursing facility. But then paragraph C says that 2/3 of the money available under paragraph B, which is 3/4 of the 1%, must be used for wage increases for all employees directly employed by the nursing facility on or after a date.
Mr. Chairman.
What's the effect of that?
And Senator Fredrickson, 75% of the money goes for compensation-related costs. 2/3 of it must be used for wages. The rest can be used for other forms of compensation.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Senator Berglund, Representative
A69.
Huntley, you have another one. A69, has that one been distributed?
No.
That's coming now. Okay.
Yeah, we just adopted A68.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
While it's been distributed, I'd move the amendment to place it in front of us.
Okay, the amendment has been moved to Article 26, and it's designated as the A69 amendment. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, as I described earlier, it deletes the delay of certain hospital payments from fiscal year 08 to 09. And then it moves some of the one-time money that was in the tails back to fiscal year 09, and those would include the CD treatment fund account transfer, the health board special revenue fund transfer, and the EMS trust account transfer.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Is that the end of the amendments for this section, A26, or do you have?
I have an A73.
A73. Okay, we'll need that one distributed.
It's to Article 26.
Mr. Chairman, would move the A73 amendment to place it in front of us.
Okay, the A73 amendment has been moved to Article 26. Senator Berglund. This is just looks like it's putting the numbers in.
This is actually just correcting some maintenance of effort numbers in the bill, in the rider, or I mean in the article.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment correction? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
And I believe the other amendments that we have are two other articles.
Yeah, there was one other article at least that I remember we were going to revisit. But
no,
is that it? Is that
one for Article 24, and then we have three for Article 25.
Okay, so that's it for Article 26. So any further discussion then on Article 26 as amended? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. What order did you want to go in? Then you said you have three others.
Why don't we take the one for Article 24? That's an A71 amendment.
Okay. Has that one been distributed?
Chairman, move the amendment.
The amendment has been moved. Senator Berglund, Representative Huntley, on the amendment.
This language just makes it clear that the work participation bonus, as we've called it, is a cash benefit, and it's available only to people in the Minnesota Family Investment Program who have left the program. So it would not be available to people that are still in the program on a food portion basis.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion on the A71 amendment? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Next one is on... Is that on eight, or is that on Article 24 as well?
I guess one of the amendments was drafted in error, and it's to Article 22. So why don't we take that?
A67.
It's an A67 amendment.
Yeah. Is that one being distributed?
Dave told me to ask you to do this. This is a duplicate base level adjustment.
Okay, it says Article 25, but it's meant to be Article 22 then, is that right?
Right, if you can just make that correction.
We'll make that, everybody make that notation then. I assume, Mr. Watson, and everything else fits. We talked a little bit about making sure things matched. Okay. Senator Cohen moves the A67 article to, or A67 amendment to Article 22. Senator Berglund, any comments about it?
It's just deleting a section from this article that we've adopted now in Article 24.
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Next amendment?
Mr. Chairman, it would be the A63 amendment.
Okay. And that deals with which article?
It deals with Article 25.
Article 25. Okay. Senator Cohen moves the A63 amendment to Article 25. Senator Berglund, if you want to comment on the article or the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, this was an amendment that was requested by the Department of Health. It deals with the Minable program and would give them the authority to finish spending out the funds that they do have in that program.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Then we have, and then there's an A66 amendment.
And that's to the same section?
This is Article 25.
Also Article 25, okay.
We got abundance.
you. While it's being distributed, Senator Cohen, want to move the amendment?
Move the amendment.
Okay. A66 has been moved by Senator Cohen to Article 25. As it's being distributed, I think everybody's got it at the table now. Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman and members of the conference committee, we mentioned when we presented to you last that this idea of a prioritized list of services potentially had savings, but the department didn't feel that they could book any savings right now and that they would have to get some approvals from the federal government. So this language would give them direction to do that, and the savings could show up then for the next biennium.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Any more on this article?
I believe we're done.
Okay. Then my desk, does anyone else have any amendments dealing with the Health and Human Service section? Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We don't need a contract. We've
done
that.
Okay. Yeah,
we
adapted
that
already. On my list, I've got some amendments that I was made aware of. One is by Representative Murphy, dealing with lead and turf, and that's one that has passed in the education bill, if I recall. Senator Murphy? Representative Murphy?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment was inadvertently left out of the education working group's final report because it was among several that had a financial impact, and this has no financial impact, but it is necessary to pass the House, and it's about synthetic turf on playgrounds and athletic fields.
And apparently there's a problem with lead, as I understand it, when I talked with
crumb rubber. It creates, as many people with allergies have problems with crumb rubber, and they also have artificial turf also has harmful effects to accidents.
Okay, Representative Murphy moves the amendment, then the A215 amendment.
And it passed the House with no opposition, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, would you allow me to share a personal observation on this topic?
That would be fine.
I have a grandson who played soccer in an indoor soccer arena this winter. And through the first half of the winter, we didn't notice anything particular about the air inside the facility. But about halfway through the season, they put a new layer of this crumb rubber and worked it into the turf. And when that happened, people started having allergy problems. It bothered me a little, but I'm not allergic to anything. I just know that my eyes watered a little bit. But people that had allergies had quite a severe reaction. And the only thing that had changed was they put additional crumb rubber into the synthetic turf. Now, I don't know if it's harmful or not. I just observation of mine. I certainly support this because I would like to know if there is some legitimate health concern with this material.
Okay, any discussion, further discussion then on the amendment? Senator Cohen?
Mr. Chairman, a couple things. Do you end up using the whatever the health and safety levy is for this purpose then?
For the report, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
And
should we have your comments so people are clear on it?
The only thing that works is to the house line, which is to have this stuff in the Senate that's to a different Senate bill.
Okay.
And this is to the House. And we haven't adopted that.
Right.
We have no cost amendments.
I don't think we're going to
take you off the amendment.
I think this one section was being brought in because it's sort of money.
That would cost
me. Okay.
Doesn't be off the local
if it doesn't include.
Okay.
It's enabling programs. Not a lot. Can you just give me 15 minutes?
Sure.
Let's get the answer.
Okay. Yeah, why don't we do that? What we were talking about, members, the question came up of as to what the cost would be, and so staff says if we give them about 15 minutes, they'll get the answer to the question for us. So, Representative Murphy, if you could temporarily withdraw the amendment then.
Mr. Chair, I would be glad to.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
I see in a couple places that it doesn't say you know, where we're inserting it. Is this in the K-12 article? Is this in the health article? Is this where, you know, page one, lines one, two and three, and page two, lines 10 and 11. I think they kind of need some reference about where we're putting them. Maybe staff can do that,
too. This came out of the education bill, if I recall.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and the working group. And it was a floor amendment on the education bill. It was accepted on the education policy bill, and it was accepted by Representative Mariani.
Okay, and
and then it was in all set to be voted on the other night, and then they voted. They took some amendments out that, or some items out that cost money. Because that's a policy bill, and they thought this one was, and this one doesn't, and so it got lost. I mean, it got left behind, and so it's. And then their bill closed up at 11:55 last night, I believe, and this didn't get transferred into it, and so here it is.
I think what what Senator Higgins was asking, though, was the location. So maybe while we're waiting for that 15 minutes, Mr. Watson can find the appropriate location. And it sounds like, being that its history was in an education bill, it probably best be placed in the education article unless Mr. Watson has other advice.
Mr. Chairman, it would go in the education article. And my page and line numbers might be different from yours, but on my copy, it's on page 3 after line 31 is the first one. It becomes section 7. And the second section on page 2, line 2.10, that would go on page 5 after line 26, insert a section 10. That should be close, at least, to what you're...
And as we pointed out, they're checking on the cost of it, so it's been withdrawn, but at least that's we know where it goes then when we bring it back forward after they get the numbers. Well, the next one I have, Representative Rukavina has a technical amendment for higher education, and he is not here. Let's see. I've got some here for environment and energy. Representative Wagenius, you...
There is a technical amendment, a drafting error having to do with...
what I have on the list here is this clarifying amendment, an 8, 210 amendment. Is that the one you're referring to?
hasn't been passed out yet. I don't know what the number is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and this one does have the page and section numbers then.
Yes.
Representative Wagenius moves the amendment, the A210 amendment. Representative Wagenius?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The way it was originally drafted, it included the small fish hatcheries where people are collecting fish as a hobby, and that was not the intention. This is only for the intention here was for folks who do major aquaculture.
The motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. The next one in that section, Environment and Energy, deals with Do Not Call. And you have that one. And this is one that I understand has been the name we've got on it is Osment. Is he here? Is anyone here from the department? I understand that this was an issue that they'd worked out with the department. Oh, there's Representative Osment. We're moving right along with these amendments, and you popped up.
Yes.
This is the one we've got is the one that you have dealing with the Do Not Call report, I think, was whether a report would be necessary or not, and that's the A216 amendment, Representative Osment.
Correct, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to move that amendment. I believe it has been agreed to by Representative Hilty, and it's because of the spreadsheet of the energy spreadsheet. I believe line 201 is what I, from memory, was deleted their money, and this keeps the language in place but takes away the obligation to make the list, and therefore they wouldn't have the cost that was originally going with the expenditure.
You know, this
the department is here if you'd like to.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm not Ms. Novak or Mr. Watson. This one does not have page and section references.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Novak.
Mr. Chair, it does have on the top that it will go into Article 6, which is the Energy, Commerce, and Utilities article, and it will go in statutory order. And the revisor will fit that in.
So we don't need a reference?
We don't need a page and line number. They will find it.
Okay. So the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Got another one with Representative Osment's name on it, the securities one.
Mr. Chair, I understand we have to redraft that. It was not to the right sections.
Well, Michelle was
the church one is okay now, but you haven't heard anything about the statewide health. Yeah. So we don't do it here?
There is no. Okay. Is Bill not
there? Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to hold on it, but we better get somebody to verify it. Yeah, we'll get to you.
Jail squatter.
somebody to make sure that the House and Senate are agreed. Yeah, we have the page passed that out then.
You don't get any money, so we won't get any money for school trust.
Yeah.
There won't be any money from school trust.
Yeah. Okay, well.
More than left-handed.
Yeah.
I'm told that the education article that we temporarily laid over is ready, the Murphy Amendment. So that would be the A. 215, this dealt with the turf issue, and Representative Murphy's
Mr. Chair,
the amendment.
I move adoption of A215.
Okay, the amendment is before us, and they were checking on costs, so somebody and better tell us
Mr.
what
Crow,
they found out.
Mr. Crow reported to me. Do you want him to report to you?
Probably, being that the question came up in the committee, what Mr. Crow,
on the health and safety one.
What's the
Mr. Chair?
If any? We were told it was revenue neutral, but then the question was raised that it may or may
yeah,
not.
Mr.
Be.
Chair and members, this is a no-cost item, and I've confirmed that before the meeting today with the Department of Education that there wouldn't be a fiscal impact to this amendment.
Okay. And Senate staff is in concurrence as well then. So Representative Murphy moves the amendment, the 215 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Representative Rukavina, you were out when we were, when we brought up the higher education amendment. Okay, has that one been has the A79 amendment been distributed? Well, it's coming now, I guess. Okay.
Basically, this just corrects some language here. And it's a technical amendment also on the
Okay, yeah, this was one that the original language, I think Minsky looked at that and they said there might have been some legal problems, and this language they've Minsky suggested to accomplish the same thing, but it would be language that would meet the legal test. So would you care to move the amendment? Oh. Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Now, this one is that's been distributed is under environment. What's not on the list? Okay. Let's stay with the list for a while then. Should we go down to state government next, it looks like? There's an amendment, the 212 amendment. Somebody can distribute that one.
Mr.
what I was told yesterday. This is the, so we're getting two different messages.
She said she had.
I'll move the A 212.
This is
not the right line.
This is not. This is correct.
Do we have? Well,
push this.
The one I was about to move is not the right language, so they're going to check on that. We have one here clarifying professional and technical contract details. I don't have a name attached to that one. Does somebody have that one to distribute?
77?
It's A77. This is an amendment. I guess, could we describe it as technical? It's to make the tails work is what I'm told.
Mr. Chairman, I move the amendment.
Okay, the amendment is moved, the A77 amendment. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried.
Don't even have it. Mr. Chair, what was that about?
Pardon?
The A77 amendment, what was that about?
That was to correct, that was a staff recommendation to correct the tails for the professional and technical contracts.
Okay.
It was described as technical. That correct?
Yeah.
Is that in the state government?
Okay, this is the LCC study. Okay, this, if members could look at page R28A8, the one I referenced earlier that was the wrong amendment. Yeah, LCC. If people could look at section 36, it's entitled Legislative Forum. When the working group was working on this section, this was overlooked. It's a $10,000 expenditure.
Sure. I'll move adoption of section 36.
Okay.
In the state government finance, this would be House language, section 36.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried.
Totally missed that.
No, we're not going to. We're not going to do anything with either of these then.
Yeah, not the Republican convention.
We're going to leave that.
Yes.
Okay.
Tails.
Did we pick up?
Tails.
Tails. Cause your problems one way or the other.
Voted yes. We didn't have the amendment.
I mean, I'm the fights are not looking for.
If you were to do something big for it,
it'd be worth it. Okay. I'm told that the securities amendment is ready, and the name that was attached to that was Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to have Nancy Hilden come to testify as to the what this does.
Oh, we don't have it done yet?
I thought we
did. Oh, we're going to back up. The message I got was that it was done, but it's done, but it's being copied. So we'll hold on that one for a while. Kind of tying up these loose ends. Checking on that one. I think we're up on economic development now. I've got two amendments here, one by Rukavina and one by Tomasoni. The first one is the HDA 824.
And what it does is in the bill there is that requirement on an employee in each of the workforce centers in the state to handle. It's paid for out of the UI fund. And this was suggested by Deed that when they're not, that employee isn't doing that, that they can work on employment issues.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion on the 824 amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We now have one under economic development by Representative or Senator Tomasoni is the name I've got there is an A-19 amendment.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Or actually, the one that's being distributed has got Representative Rukavina's name on it. I guess on one list I've got your name, and on the amendment it's got, looks like you've been
probably
doing
his idea,
some collaborative
it's,
work.
It's probably his idea, but I'm probably offering it. That's probably
okay,
what's going
so,
on
okay, so... Just didn't want you guys to argue over who gets to offer it. Then, Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chairman, this all this does is take some savings from some electronic savings that SMDC in Duluth gets when they go to electronic recording and transfers it to Virginia Regional Medical Center to help pay for the helipad. There was a promise by SMDC to put some money into the helipad because they're going to be recouping all the rewards of the helicopters moving the patients to SMDC. I don't know if they ran out of money or if they weren't able to come up with it, but this at least allows them to do that, and it's a one-time, it's just a one-time shot, and it's it lets them fulfill their commitment to the helipad.
Okay, the motion is before us then by Senator Tomasoni. Any discussion?
Economic development.
Senator Hands.
Mr. Chair, what are the savings that SMDC Health System is getting in the Economic Development Division? I didn't catch what you said.
They're getting it from moving to I think it's from
they're
electronic.
Getting it from a bill that was passed on electronic on keeping hospital records and
oh, the electronic medical records.
That thing.
Okay.
So this is one where the bill is passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. So any
it's
further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And I can't get
this doesn't match up with this.
Got another one here that's an A-64, and it says technical. It's under the economic development.
Word insurance. I better keep that. I think we better keep this one.
And who has this amendment? A-64, economic development. That would be either Representative Rukavina or Senator Tomasoni. Under economic development, it says senator here, so it.
Mr. Chairman, I thought we did this one the other. I thought we did this one the other night, but maybe we forgot to do this one.
Did we do that in our
Mr. Chairman?
No.
We
did it here.
No, you did digital media.
Mr. Chairman, we did digital media.
The other night, Senator Tomasoni was, I think, looking for a written amendment, and he found an oral amendment, and he made part of it on pages 12 and 13, but missed some other parts. And on the document you're probably looking at, it would be page 12, line 30, rather than line 24, and page 13, line 18, rather than line 11.
So, Mr. Watson and Ms. Novak, you've got those line references. Okay. Senator Tomasoni, does that?
Yeah. Okay. I'll make those incorporate those corrections into this and move the A64 amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. The motion is before us for the A64 amendment. Then, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Back on the 824 amendment, I was trying to engross it while we were working.
Which section was that one?
Economic development.
Oh, okay.
It's
that's
one from just a couple ago.
Couple back.
That I think was Senator Representative Rukavina's, and the page and line don't match up with what we have in our books. I mean, somebody probably will figure it out, but they don't match up.
Mr. Watson was telling me that we might encounter that from time to time, okay. And I think he's been monitoring these. Is this one that you picked up on, Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, I'll get it in just a moment.
Okay. We had a conversation with Mr. Watson, and he said the documents sometimes, the numbers and page references will be close but not exact, and so he indicated that he would watch those.
Mr. Chairman, I think on your version it would be on line 23 rather than line 15.
Oh, on line 23, but still page 15. Okay.
Yeah. It was to support to applicants for unemployment insurance, including assistance in obtaining suitable employment. And actually, there should be a comma at the beginning of that.
Okay. Do we need Mr. Watson to repass this amendment, or will you be able to just make those corrections? You'll be able to make the corrections. Okay. Senator Higgins, it's good that you're alert. We can't. Do we have the Osmond one yet?
This was handed to me. And
we did that one.
Yeah, we did that one. Okay. All right. So
now we need the Osmond one.
Are you ready with this one, Bill?
I am.
This is the security.
Kathy Novak is going to explain process while you're getting the pieces of paper.
Okay.
We've got one they're handing out online right now, so I got to do that first. These two go together, is that?
Yeah, they have.
Mr. Chair?
It's the sunset.
Mr. Chairman?
Ms. Novak.
The Representative's Osmond amendment.
Could we just wait till, since we have two pieces, until both are distributed so we can.
I'm just explaining the process, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, we're just. She's explaining why we're getting two pieces.
The Higgins amendment that is being passed out was adopted by the Conference Committee and is included in the energy article. And Representative Osmond's amendment is drawn to the part that's already included in the energy article. And for clarity, we've passed out both parts of that.
So this is drawn to this.
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to, we could have Nancy Hilden would come up and give us an explanation as to how all this works.
That'll be fine. This is one I want folks to listen carefully to because it's got major cost ramifications. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Nancy Hilden, and I'm here on behalf of the Investment Company Institute, which is the trade association for the mutual funds. The purpose behind Representative Osmond's amendment is to, after hopefully the current budget troubles that the state is facing and in the need for revenues subsides, this amendment is drawn so that the current cap on mutual fund fees at $25.6 million would be reinstated. So that's after 2011. The reason for doing so is simply to, at that point in time, have some opportunity to revisit really the policy ramifications for imposing a fee that is so exorbitant compared to the cost for the administrative filing needs that the Department of Commerce has. So that's really what the amendment that it is drawn to do.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. Anyone have any questions of the witness? I'd like Mr. Marks to comment on what the long and short-term ramifications of the amendment would be. Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, members, this essentially would go beyond the current tracking period. It goes into fiscal year 2012, and it would reduce revenues beginning in fiscal 2012 by probably about $12 million a year, or $11.5 to $12 million a year. We don't have an estimate for fiscal year 2012, but we're tracking $11.5 million of revenue in fiscal year 2011 for that item or for increased revenue by putting this in. So to basically sunset it or return to the previous level beginning in fiscal 2012 would result in a loss of revenue of $11.5 or $12 million a year beginning that year.
Representative Mercer.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Marks, but couldn't we adopt this and then contemplate the policy principles in this, and maybe based on the discussion that we had in Finance Committee this morning, Mr. Chair, about the needs for new monies to come into new funds, and couldn't we then look at a timeline starting in 2012 where we would recapture and those funds and apply them, say, perhaps to public pensions, since it has to do with mutual funds? That's a hypothetical, I know, but it's possible.
Considering this morning's discussion, it is an interesting concept.
I like that.
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, a hypothetical answer would be yes. The timing issue I would point out, though, is this will become an issue after in the 2009 session, because this November's forecast is the first one that will provide a projection for fiscal years 2012 and 13. So it's likely that the issue of balancing in the 2009 session, the issue of balancing tails will be looking at fiscal 2012 and 13. So it's the timing on this isn't 3 years away. It's less than a year away.
Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's intriguing to look at it in this fashion, but given where we are with this bill at this point, I think it's difficult to adopt it right now. Maybe we can continue to work on it. I'm a little bit hesitant, though, when we look at where we might be in a couple of years. Normally we don't sunset something of this sort, take the excess in for a couple of years and then put a halt to it. It just, as I've listened to this, and I was aware of this amendment prior to the meeting, but listening to Mr. Marks, and I'm not sure, Mr. Mossman, if you would concur in Mr. Marks's comments, but I have some concerns.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think part of the question was, you know, they wanted it sunsetted so that it would stop and I think force a discussion, but you don't need to sunset it to have a discussion. So I'm not sure we need to do this. Representative Rucavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, the often, Senator Cohen, we have sunsets for like sales taxes and things like that, you know, that we, so I, this is basically a freeze of the way I read it, right? I mean, we don't know if the growth is going to keep continuing in the tax collections either. That's, I guess, a hypothetical too, isn't it? My understanding is when other states start doing it, maybe we won't collect as much as we thought we would out there in the future. So if you just say that you're not going to collect more than $25,600,000 in 2012, well, what kind of hole or what problem does it cause for this budget right now?
As Mr. Marks explained it, it's in the out bienniums. There's some issues coming up in out bienniums.
Yeah, but we're not doing tails for those years.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think
this, Tomasoni.
Not this amendment, but I think this action is actually a governor's recommendation. And my understanding of this fund is that it was originally capped at $25 million because there was less than $25 million coming in. And now there's in the $35 million area coming in. And it was capped last year at $25.6 million. And right now we're just capturing the growth on it. So I don't know if going back to 25.6 is a good idea.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion defeated. Okay, so what do we have?
75.
I figured it out.
It's in this pile here. I got it written down.
The House folks are okay with that. Okay. Won't do it then. If that changes, let me know. I've got an amendment here that wasn't on the list. It's an A214.
That would be mine.
Oh, I think your name is on it, Representative Rucavina.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, we've in the education part of this bill, we've talked about school trust lands for K-12 funding. And what this amendment would do, and by the way, could I make an amendment to the amendment on line 1.9? Should be 2010, too. That way it's giving them some time. The DNR charges the... I believe they only they get a general fund appropriation for fighting fires, but they charge the school trust land for fighting fires to the tune of about $1 million, I think. Ms. Novak, is that correct? You said the general fund?
That's correct.
Tune of about $1 million a year, and they don't charge any, they don't charge themselves on state acquired land. They don't charge county tax forfeit land or other. They just charge the school trust. What the amendment would say is they can't charge them anymore for fire protection since they don't charge themselves.
and the counties, and or for a county school trust, or excuse me, county tax forfeit. And it says also that they're going to reduce their expenses in that fund. It's been a big issue, in, at least in the House side. There were years, Mr. Chair, and I know when you were chair of the Education Committee, I had you do that report by the legislative auditor. There were years where they put nothing. They were selling $3 to $4 million worth of timber a year, putting zero in the school trust. And they've gotten better. They've gotten up to, like, I think a few years where they actually put 50% of the timber sales in that in the fund, but now they've gotten worse again, so that would require them to reduce their what they're taking out by 50% in, by 2010, and also not charge the kids of the state for fighting fires when they don't charge any themselves.
Okay, Representative Rukavina moves the amendment, the 214 amendment. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, do they charge them only for fighting fires that happen, or is it sort of a an insurance thing?
I think there's somebody here that
assessed a certain amount every year.
It's an open appropriation.
Is there somebody here that can answer Senator Higgins' question? And if you could identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, members, Senator Higgins, my name is Bob Tomlinson. I'm the Assistant Director with the DNR Division of Forestry. I think your question was something like, do we only charge for fighting fires?
For the fires that are fought as opposed to
a flat
amount for school trust fund land.
Mr. Tomlinson.
Let me just explain that we certify costs associated with protection, which fire fits under, administration, management, forest roads, and improvement. Those are the five categories that we certify costs related to. The total cost for the average cost for the last 5 years, ending in 07, for protection was $1.8 million per year. That was then transferred out of the suspense account and back to the general fund to reimburse for the fire protection parts of it.
Senator Higgins, is that?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Tomlinson, so there was $1.8 million worth of fighting fires on school trust land every year for the last 5 years? Or did that include all of those five things that you were talking about?
Mr. Tomlinson.
Maintenance roads.
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, it's a very complicated formula that we kind of go through, but basically we keep very close track of all our firefighting expenditures every year, and we take the total amount, and then we divide that out by or multiply that by the proportion of school trust fund lands to total lands, and that is about, I believe, it's about 2.3 million acres total of school trust lands and about 222 million acres of total lands. And thus, that's where we come up with the amount then that is certified each year. The 1.8 million is an average that is a five-year average, per year average over the last 5 years.
Mr. Chair.
Not getting an answer, I can tell.
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Thompson, so what do you charge the other 20 million acres for fighting fires?
Mr. Chair, members, the Division of Forestry, the DNR, doesn't charge any. This is just set up the way it is in statute and how the monies that are certified are moved out. Basically, there is no reimbursement to the general fund or anywhere else for fighting fire on acquired lands or on CONCON lands or any other type of land that we might manage. It's only with the school trust fund lands.
Mr. Chair, so Mr. Thompson, am I incorrect in saying that only the school children of the state on their school trust land pay to fight fires?
Mr. Chair, you would be correct with that statement.
Mr.
Great to have this suspense effect that we adopted in education.
Mr. Chairman?
I think I'm not sure which hand went up.
I'll defer to them.
Okay, Representative Wagenius.
Unfortunately, these are issues that haven't come through committee to be discussed this year, or this amendment. This is the first I've seen it. But while you're here, let's go back to the reduction of 50% to the base appropriations. What does that mean in terms of, does that just mean 50% less management, and how much less management will you be doing in the next biennium?
Mr. Tomlinson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, the total appropriation, of course, we have yet to be appropriated money for FY 2010, but if it were about what it is in 2009, the total amount of our appropriation, direct appropriation for forest management 2009 is about $24 million something out of the general fund and $18,293,000 out of the forest management investment account. So if you reduce the appropriation of $18,293,000 by 50%, $9 million plus, obviously, the impacts of what we're able to accomplish on the ground and do in forest management would be impacted proportionately. And I can't give you any specifics as far as acres or, you know, numbers of trees not planted, that sort of thing right now. But
okay. If I could, Mr. Chairman, if I could follow up.
Representative Wagenius.
So I'm assuming because we are facing tight budget times and we expect to get less general fund, that if I'm looking at it proportionately, it seems like it's maybe 20% less that you will be doing in forest management if we are lucky enough to even get the same amount of general fund that we're getting now. Is that about correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, I think that's in the ballpark.
So it would be 20% less planting trees and 20% less issuing permits for cutting trees, that kind of thing?
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, you know, we would reduce the overall operations of the Division of Forestry by about 20%. We would have to probably reduce in some areas, perhaps non-revenue producing areas, more extensively than we would in the revenue-producing areas. But needless to say, at that significant of a reduction, we would probably not be able to continue to produce the revenues via the timber sales that we're currently doing at this point in time.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. The amendment reducing the 50% base appropriation on the forest expense account will, in net, basically reduce our forestry activities on permanent school trust fund lands by 50%, probably a 50%, not exactly 50%, but it will have a big impact on our staff in greater Minnesota and the forested areas that are doing permanent school trust fund work on the forested areas of the state. Also, you need to be aware of the management activities related to silviculture. You do not put a dollar in today and get $2 out tomorrow. We put a dollar in today, and it takes a long time for those trees to mature. They take some thinning. They take practice or preventative and taking care of fighting fires, which this deals with as well, but also thinning and everything else that goes into developing and maintaining a productive and active forest. So by doing this, it will reduce the long-term benefit of the timber off of those trust fund lands and also impact the jobs and economies of many communities throughout the state.
Mr. Chair. Senator Fredrickson was next.
Go ahead.
He's been waiting patiently.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I had a question and then some additional information. If I recall correctly, isn't fighting fires an open appropriation?
Yes.
So that... And that is ultimately played out of the general fund.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fredrickson, it's actually a combination of a direct appropriation. I believe the amount directly appropriated out of the general fund is $7.2 million in each of 08 and 09, and then there's an open appropriation beyond that.
From the general fund?
From the general fund, that's correct.
So, Ms. Chairman, Mr. Thomason, so it's not accurate to say that school trust fund monies fight fires, because that's paid out of the general fund.
Mr. Thomason.
You're right.
Mr. Chair, Senator Frederickson, I think it's accurate to say that the general fund is the only place that the school suspense account is reimbursing money due to firefighting. That's probably the way I would have to state that.
Mr. Chairman, could I?
I'll defer.
Okay, Representative Wagenius.
Okay, it is my recollection that while we have a direct appropriation of $7 million, that the amount we spend is around $20 million a year. Am I getting that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, you're correct. In 2007, the actual amount was $25 million thereabouts. That was the biggest fire year that we've had in a couple of decades. And usually it averages right around $18, $19 million a year.
Well, Mr. Chair, we're getting a little sidetracked here.
Wait a minute. You yielded to Representative Wagenius. I just want to make sure we're following.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer a little additional information about this whole issue. There was a legislative audit report some years ago. I believe it was like 98. And as a result of that, now Senator Lynch has a bill in the Senate to set up a task force or a committee. I don't remember exactly how it's termed, but it has members from the from school districts, from the Department of Natural Resources, from the legislature, to advise the Department of Natural Resources and us on how to manage these lands. That's been amended onto a bill that I'm carrying on administrative sites, and that is a live bill. Representative Rick Hansen has the administrative site bills in the House, so I'm expecting that committee is going to go into place this year, and we could get advice from that committee from the perspective of the department, school districts, and others on how to manage these issues. So I'm suggesting that this perhaps is a year premature.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Chair, I've been talking about this issue for 22 years, and nobody listens. And the reason, exact reason why is because I can see my friends that sit on the Natural Resources Committee think this is their money. And if you can justify that the only lands and public lands in Minnesota that actually pay to fight fires is school trust land, then Senator Frederickson, justify it. I think Senator Higgins is catching on here. Mr. Myers' statements about the school tree improvement to the lands, I've asked for years. Break down what protection and management and administration and roads and improvements are. Show me the improvements. You know, when I first got involved in this issue, it was over those cabin leases. And you recall that whole issue and blow up, Mr. Chair. And Senator Murphy and Representative Murphy and you all were here then. And I keep asking for information. A couple of years ago, Representative Commissioner Holston came in. I asked for some information on chargebacks. And they had charged for state parks. Now, if there's school trust land in a state park, we've been trying to get it out. It can raise no revenue there. How could they be charging state parks? Oh, that was a mistake. Remember, Mr. Tomlinson? That was a mistake. We shouldn't have charged for that. Nobody looks at this because nobody cares, because the Environment Committee thinks it's their money. And to top it off and make it worse, members, is we let them start taking the mineral royalties a few years ago. That's the only reason we got that huge trust fund that's in this bill in the Education Committee. So I want to shake them up a little bit and finally do something. From 1981 to 1990, they sold $4 million of timber, $3 million, $4 million every year, didn't put a penny, not one red American cent in the fund. And I asked them, well, those 11 years, Mr. Myers, you must have made some heck of an improvements if you were keeping all $3 and $4 million a year of timber sales. They can't justify why they're doing this. So, Mr. Chair, I'll pull the amendment back and we can talk about you know, this, and we start, you know, we're going to have a task force to look at it. I've been talking about this for 22 years. You're the one that funded the study for the legislative auditor 10 years ago. 10 years ago, nothing's been done.
Mr. Chair.
If you do this, you'd wake them up anyway.
I heard a voice.
Mr. Chair, if I may, we have been doing a lot, and we do take our fiduciary responsibilities related to school trust land management very seriously. Over the past couple of years, we have taken out all trust land out of the park. That's why one of the things that has come up this session was to make the proposed Vermilion State Park trust land, and we've been fighting that very vigorously. We do not want to go backwards. We are trying to take on new activities, look at new opportunities. The mining issue you bring up, the minerals management account, we proposed eliminating that 2 years ago. The legislature recommended moving that forward. So Governor Pawlenty wanted to repeal that. It was a decision of this legislature to keep that moving forward permanently. We are working very seriously on trust fund issues. We worked with Representative Dietrich and Senator Lynch on their bill. We look forward to working with the committee. Senator Saxog's Forestry Subcommittee is going to take an in-depth look at this. So I take very much just get upset when you start talking about the position that we have on trust fund land management. We can't deal with the past or what past administrations have done, but Commissioner Marion and Commissioner Holson have taken a very, very serious position on trust fund land management.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rook,
Mr. Myers, are you putting did you take more out of the suspense account this year than you have in previous years?
Myers. Or Mr. Tomlinson.
Manage the land.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ruckovina, we took a larger percentage out for two reasons. One is because the revenues were down, and two is because the firefighting costs were way up. And thus, there was a larger percentage of money that left the suspense account and went back to cover those items, or left with the revenue part.
It makes my point, members.
Mr. Chairman.
You withdrew the amendment. Kids paid to fight the fires, and the kids paid because your revenue was down, and that's it. And, you know, and then people talk about the minerals. Well, look at how much money that they brought in minerals. It's only because Eveleth Mines and Keewatin Mines started up again, and they're mining on school trust land. You know, I'm a dunce, and I could raise that money. So, Mr. Myers, don't get indignant up there. I'm the one, and the Education Committee should be indignant because you took more money out. You were bragging a couple years ago that you'd gotten to contributing 40%, I believe, or was it 60? I don't remember my numbers. Was it 40 or 60 back into the school trust of the timber sales and everything? And now you're back again where you were. Pretty soon it'll be like 1982, 83. It'll be zero. So you can get indignant up there, but I'm the one that should be indignant. I've been trying to raise this issue for 22 years.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so I'll pull the amendment. I made my point, I guess, and the point is it's amendment, the Environment Committee's money. Spend the kids' money on anything you want.
Okay, the amendment is withdrawn. I understand that, Mr. Watson, you have some amendments over there. That somebody said there was a stack of amendments that the Senate got. Some amendments there were.
Mr. Chairman, there are a number of amendments here.
I have 75.
And Senator Higgins.
75 amendments.
I think, do we have any over here?
Okay. I've got one oral.
You have an oral amendment that you wanted to do for the historical. So why don't we take that one now then? Senator Vaughn.
Mr. Chairman, this is not prepared, so if the committee would allow me to present this orally, I do have the line references. We've done a couple things with the Historical Society. In the E-12 bill, there's a $200,000 new appropriation for teacher training, but in the economic development article, there's a $200,000 cut. And I had a chance to talk to the director of the Historical Society, and she indicated that the preference would be to just have it a wash, that rather than hand the money for specified purposes and take money away for non-specified purposes, that they would have an easier time managing the money if it was just a wash. So what I'd like to do is move in the E-12 article on page 37 to delete subdivision 8. So that deletes the new appropriation. And then to move to amend the economic development article on page 6, line 23, delete the 200,000, insert 0. On page 6, on line 24, delete the A, the subdivision A. And on page 7 of the same article, delete lines 4 to 7. And, Mr. Chairman, that would, you know, rather than it seems a little bit nonsensical to add money and then make the same size cut.
Okay, so the motion is before us. Everybody understand that it makes it a wash. It was being increased in the K-12 article by 200,000 and decreased in economic development article. Was that it?
Yes.
By 200,000. So it ends up with the motion that's before us as a wash, and the Historical Society supports the amendment that Senator Cohen just proposed.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
So any discussion? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, what about the purpose of that funding then?
Well,
and the teacher training?
Mr. Chairman, I Representative Murphy, I don't even think that's specified in the article. So there was apparently discussion about that, but it's not even specified. So we add money for at least in the article for an unspecified purpose, but then we take away money for an unspecified purpose. So that just, on the surface of it, doesn't seem to make much sense. And what will happen, Mr. Chairman, relative to the Historical Society, is the governor could well line item veto the new appropriation, and then they're stuck with the cut. So that just doesn't make any sense.
And
I think Senator Tomasoni agrees, and he is the person, at least the Senate side, who has the jurisdiction over the Historical Society.
It's
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
I'm not questioning the reason that you're proposing it here, but I'm questioning the purpose in the Education Committee that all the way through was for teacher training. And so what happens to the teacher training? Did the Historical Society, when they were talking about washing and putting everything in the wash and coming out really good and they have the same amount of money, did they talk about the purpose of teacher training and what their plan is for teacher training within the whole number then?
Why don't we ask them that question?
I would like to.
I think that's where you were headed. If a representative of the Historical Society could comment.
Yes.
I think, did you hear the question, Mr. Kelleher?
Mr. Chairman, I did. For the record, I'm David Kelleher from the Minnesota Historical Society. Representative Murphy, as to your question, would we do some teacher training? We do some already. The appropriation that was in the E-12 bill would have allowed us to do more. We will have to go back and look at our budget and see if within the existing budget we can increase over the levels that we're doing now. But I think that our budget that was set in the 2007 session, you know, was appropriated for historic sites and history center and other operations. We're obviously disappointed that we would not be getting funding at an increased level to do more teacher training. But as the chair said, in the case where there's a wash, an equal amount in and out of the budget, we would be cutting one area to increase a different area.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Murphy,
Sarah Cohen, Mr. Kelleher, you must have had an idea of doing some increased outreach for a particular thing. What was that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kelleher. Murphy, the proposal that was in the E-12 bill would have allowed us to do additional seminars that would allow us to implement the social studies standards that you as the legislature passed 3 or 4 years ago. We have a textbook that we've published that is a Minnesota history curriculum, and we offer workshops and seminars to support that. And we will simply do less than we would have of that kind of training. We do some already, but we will just not have the opportunity to do as much as we would have.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Kelleher, will you do anything in addition to what you're already doing for those social study standards?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, I think we'll need to go back and look at our budgets and see if there are available funds to do that. It's hard to say at this moment that we would do that within existing funds. Clearly, the intent of the proposal was that we expand that, but we'll have to look at our budget and see if in the next fiscal year we'll be able to offer more than we are able to now.
Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni, I think it's important that we have some kind of plan to reach their goal in some small way. I understand that there's not additional money at this time then if this amendment goes on and we're washing. But when we wash, sometimes we use soap, and that makes things a little slipperier. And I think we should look at this, but keep in mind the goals then that you're washing away.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tomasoni.
Representative Murphy, Mr. Kelleher, if we left it the way it is, you would have to provide $200,000 in teacher training. And you would still lose $200,000. So you're still at exactly the same spot you would be without a mandate to do the teacher training. So I think you should just tell Representative Murphy you're going to do the teacher training anyway, because this guarantees you to get the $200,000 and not lose it. I mean, that's what I would do if I were you.
Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni, we will go back and look at our budget and maximize the teacher training available.
Mr. Kelleher, I think you probably realize already, but there are a couple of social studies teachers on this committee.
So what's going to happen?
Mr. Chair, I'm quite aware of that.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Rukavina.
I'd make a motion that the DNR give the Historical Society $200,000 out of the forestry suspense account, school trust land to teach the kids. At least it'll be used for the kids. That's my motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I already have a motion on that.
Then I'll move to improve your motion. At least then they'll teach the program that was supposed to be taught with this appropriation, and the DNR will just have one less. Probably they won't have another game warden conference. The kids probably paid for that, too, that you read about yesterday in the paper. So I'd actually make that motion then.
That's a good point.
You're moving to amend.
I'm moving to give the Historical Society, amend his motion. I'm amending his motion, give the Historical Society $200,000 from the DNR's forestry suspense account, the school trust land, to teach the teachers that was supposed to be taught.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if Representative Rukavina wants to do that, I'll move to divide my amendment and ask for a vote initially on the section in the economic development bill, or economic development article.
And you're dividing the motion. Okay, any discussion on division of the motion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Well, Mr. Chairman, now I have a motion to remove the $200,000 new appropriation in the E-12 article, and I guess that's what Representative Rukavina wants to amend.
Representative Rukavina?
However I do it. I want to take $200,000 to pay the historical, replace the $200,000 cut, I guess, in the economic development part of the bill and give it to the Historical Society for the teacher training from the forestry suspense account.
Taking it from somewhere within DNR. So we're going to have to get a little more precise motion where it's coming from in DNR.
Is that a
Is
So now there's $425,000. So now zeroed out your energy. So he's taking. So there's
$425,000. Not taking out of forestry suspense.
Yeah, but zeroed out the economic development just got $200,000. So are the historical society.
Well, it's a little more complicated than.
Do I have to put it in the K-12 part of the bill? Because you transferred the money back to the economic development part of the bill, Senator Cohen?
Well, I'm assuming that what you're attempting to do is move money from DNR to the K-12.
You go from forestry suspense.
So we're still
yeah, it doesn't make any difference which article it's in. Yeah.
Appropriate from the
oh, I do.
But that means, well, that means worse for
the at least the kids are getting it rather than the game wardens.
No. And school fund gets less.
I could go fill up my jug as they take a bath.
Well, the school fund doesn't get anything hardly anyway because they're taking all the money. So I just say from the forestry suspense account. And I realize there will be $200,000 less going into the school trust, but who cares? They don't put it in there anyway. Nobody cares. So at least it's going to kids.
What do we need to do, Mr. Morris, to make it a correct motion? Lot more language than we can do in a couple minutes is what I've been just told.
Can we delay the vote on this then until they get the correct language?
Representative Rucavina.
I want the teachers to get taught on how to teach the kids.
Representative Rucavina withdraws his motion. Now we have.
I'm going to offer it when you get the motion.
I think, courtesy to Representative Rucavina, we should wait till he has the ability
to
offer.
He's withdrawn his. What you need to do now is withdraw yours.
I'm just holding off.
I'll withdraw mine until it's properly prepared.
Yeah, that's what needs to be done. Okay. So both motions have now been withdrawn. He was doing an amendment to your motion.
To the
motion.
Second half of my motion.
And we have $400,000.
So now what has happened is that he has withdrawn his amendment to your motion, and you're now withdrawing your. Otherwise, we are sitting here with a motion before us, and we can't move forward with the next amendment.
But, Mr. Chairman, let me make it clear. The second half of my motion has carried, the economic development portion.
That's done.
Right. So I'm withdrawing my E-12 part of my motion.
Yeah, that's what was before us.
Correct.
Yeah. But we have to have a clean slate so we can take the next amendment. Okay.
Yes.
Which is from the Senate side.
Right, right.
Senator Higgins.
A-75. Is this the next one, Mr. Watson? I think they're coming from your pile of amendments there.
Yes.
So that's the next one that we have. And who is moving this amendment then?
Senator Higgins.
Senator Higgins. Okay. Senator Higgins is
here. She
present
is. Oh,
right now.
Right there.
Here she is.
Senator Higgins, your amendment is before us if you'd like.
Mr. Watson can explain it.
You want to move it?
Sure.
As you're walking? Okay. Senator Higgins moves the A-75 amendment. Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, this is just a clarification of language that's already in the Health and Human Services Appropriation article. The language that's in there now talks about reducing a carry forward, making it look as though it's just a reduction in an appropriation, but actually it's a carry forward of money that's in the special revenue account, as shown in the text of the amendment, so that it's a transfer into the general fund, not just a reduction of the appropriation. It just makes it a little bit more clear.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Do you have any more there, Mr. Watson?
Yes, I do. There's one that had Senator Betzold's name on it, but
he's in Data Privacy Conference Committee. Is it something I can offer for him?
Sorry. That's being distributed now?
This is Gary and the Department of Health. This is not in either bill right now. This is related to.
And you've got that one written up?
No.
As good as we can work here.
This compensation. Oh. To relocate. They have spent all their money and completed their move, and so they want an additional year.
So it would be. Would it be a motion at this point then? Are you doing an amendment to Cohen's?
Mr. Chair, this is the.
So he has to make. Wants to do is to keep the section in.
Yes.
Replacing it, basically. Okay, we have the amendment, the A78 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I'll offer this for Senator Betzold. And Mr. Mossman can explain it better than I, but we allocated funds for Human Services Department to relocate, and they haven't finished that relocation yet, so they're asking. I think we did that in 2006 or 2007, something like that. So they're asking for the money to be available till the end of this biennium.
Okay, the Senator Higgins makes the motion then that we adopt the A78 amendment. Everybody clear on what it does? Seeing none, then all those. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion carried. Mr. Watson, do you have anything else?
Mr. Chairman, we have another amendment, the A81 amendment, and I thought that Representative Osment was going to be offering it. I don't know if we should.
What does it deal with? Is it
deals with fly ash.
I would fly be ash. Happy to okay. put that, to tell members what's going on until Representative Osment comes. If you, I think he's.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Representative Wagenius. You're telling me what, or us?
I would be happy to describe what's going on for members until Representative Osment gets back, because I think it would be important for Excel to come up. To the microphone. So I'd be glad to
would you like it. To do it now, or he's well, in fact he's joining
he
us.
Can move
okay.
It. I was going
to move the amendment.
Okay, which amendment are you moving?
This is the A81.
The A 81 amendment. Is this
correct.
The one that people were working on and have reached agreement? Okay. Representative Osment moves the amendment, and if you could explain the amendment then Representative Osment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an amendment to the disposal facilities portion of the environmental bill, and what we're doing is allowing for the Sherco facility to be able to continue with their landfilling needs and as they are upgrading their facilities. And I've been working with Representative Wagenius and Senator Anderson to come up with this language, and I think we'd like to have someone from the Excel that can verify that that's what this amendment does.
Now, this is a different amendment than you showed me earlier that hadn't been agreed upon, right? This one is now.
Yeah, Mr. Acceptable. Chairman, that between the time I handed that to you and now there were further discussions and this was drafted.
Okay, and if you'd care to comment on it then.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Rick Evans with Xcel Energy. The other day, you were kind enough to let me testify when the moratorium amendment was first made, and I expressed some concern that this would complicate our ability at the Sherco plant to do some of the conversions that we want to do to particularly do mercury control in the emissions, because that will increase the amount of fly ash, and we need a space up there to put the fly ash. This amendment focuses on the power plant with a wet scrubbed unit. The only wet scrubbed unit in Minnesota is at the Sherco plant, and allows us to convert that wet scrubbed unit to a dry scrubbed unit and site a landfill to take care of the fly ash that would come out of that unit. So that's the purpose of this, and this accomplishes that so that we can proceed with our plans at the Sherco plant.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, where's the Sherco plant?
The Sherco plant, is, Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, the Sherco plant is in Sherburne County. I think it's in the city of.
It's by Becker.
Becker. I want to say Becker.
I'm not sure if it's in the city limits, but right close on Highway 10. Representative Murphy, is that? Representative Wagenius?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we have been assured by Excel that this applies only to one facility in the state, which is the assurance that we needed to hear. One of the reasons that we are changing the rules is to avoid groundwater contamination. And I would hope that common sense would prevail and that when citing this on the land that you own, you will avoid groundwater-sensitive areas, just as everyone else is going to be doing in the state.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, yes, it is our intent, and I know you and I are not going to agree on the process that we use, but it is always our intent to absolutely prevent groundwater contamination in the landfills that we construct, and this one will be designed and permitted by the PCA following the current set of rules, and we believe that's more than adequate to protect the groundwater. We understand there's going to be an examination of what new rules might be needed.
It doesn't. Any further discussion, Representative Wagenius? Okay, all those in favor then signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carried. Mr. Watson, do you have more there?
Mr. Chairman, I think we're about to the end. We've got the Article 1, the summary. Some of these numbers are going to change with the action.
That'll be kind of the conclusion amendment. I've got that on the list, but that'll be our last item. Are we ready for the Rukavina amendment? Okay. Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, in the education article on page 37, the Cohen amendment was to delete subdivision 8, which is on page 37, lines 10 through 13. I think to achieve what Representative Rukavina wants to achieve, you would need to leave that section. And then on line 37.13, which currently says this is a one-time appropriation, after this, insert appropriation is from the forest suspense account and is a one-time appropriation. So it would be adding after this, appropriation is from the forest suspense account and.
Okay, everybody have that and understand what it's doing. Representative Rukavina moves the amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No. Right here.
Motion carried. Division has been requested. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Okay, motion defeated.
No.
3-3.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
So it's 3-3.
Did you? Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah, motion carried then. Okay, I didn't count you.
Bizarre.
Thanks.
Okay.
Do we have any other?
Is that it on the amendments?
Well, Mr. Chairman, let me try one other amendment, because I don't think we've taken any action on this matter. And that would be to include in the economic development article subdivision 6, which is located on pages 21, 22, 23, 24.
To the historical system. Under
and
economic development?
Yes. That is the needed proposal of St. Paul, which is part of the Senate position.
Okay, the motion is before us. What was that location again?
The economic development article, subdivision 6, which is on page 21.
Section 29.
I'm sorry, that was Section 20. That was Section 29, Subdivision 6. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Section 29 of the bill amends Subdivision 6. I was misstating that. 21. And, Mr. Chairman, again, this was this has been a Senate position throughout, and I don't know if Representative Rukovina is keeping count of amendments, but today the House has been doing much better than the Senate, I think.
And what is the
we could write some for you.
Generates $2 million this year. Is that what it does?
Yes. $1.5 this year and $500,000
yeah, for the
in the next biennium.
And then what is the tail on there, Mr. Marks? Do you know?
Withdrawn.
Mr. Chair and members, over the remaining course of the loan, it would forgive $34.5 million, I believe it is. $34.75 million.
Representative Rukovina.
That's just an annual reduction then. When you figure out the tails, is it figured out just so much a year because it was paying back over so many years? So how much is it a year? It goes down, right?
Mr. Chair and members, it actually... I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but it increases. It's been one point. It was a schedule that where the amounts grew over time, and at this point, it's $1.5 million a year. Then it's going to go up to $2 million for 1 year, and I believe it goes up to $4 million for a period of 4 or 5 years in that range, and then ceases at about that level. $4.5 million, I think, is the last payment. I don't believe those numbers are they're in that range.
And so, Mr. Chairman, would just point out that
Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, would just point out that we've been doing a lot for a lot of cities around the state. In this year's bonding bill, appropriations we've had in the past for the Minneapolis Convention Center and St. Paul, unfortunately, was maybe should have waited a couple of years instead of seeking help after the fact when other cities have been seeking help before the fact. Obviously, we passed in the bonding bill this year, the $40 million, whatever it was, for the deck. Other convention centers, other sports facilities, and I think people from St. Paul see it as a matter of equity.
I think, Senator Cohen, I was on the conference committee when this was set up.
Yes, as was I.
You were as well. Okay. You have to be reminded to put this mic here. And this was an interest-free loan, and it's often been compared to the Target Center, which was an interest-bearing loan. So,
but Mr. Chairman,
are we putting both, not in your motion, but at some point in the future, then the Target Center on the table as well? Because they've had some needs. I just would be interested in what road we're on.
Well, Mr. Chairman, two things. I would not necessarily be opposed to that. I would point out that the governor had originally proposed the cessation of the payments for the Target Center. This conference committee report does not carry that. But if you remember from that conference committee 10 years ago, City of Minneapolis received $80 million in the bonding bill for construction of the convention center. St. Paul, in that same bill relative to the arena, received a loan. And so, if you're citing the conference committee report of 10 years ago, that's what it was.
Well, the reason I was raising that, Senator Cohen, is that at least when we were on the Capital Investment Committee, we did a tour, and they had some needs over there. And I'm just trying to see what the total picture here is, Target Center and Excel, just so we know what's transpiring potentially. your motion is.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I have no objection to trying to help out Minneapolis, which has some significant problems as well. I think St. Paul's problems are exacerbated by our size and lack of the economic base that Minneapolis has. But if you want to do it apples to apples, in 1998 in the conference committee report, Minneapolis received an $80 million bonding appropriation, which was not a loan of any sort, for the convention center. St. Paul received a loan. Minneapolis secured legislative support in 1994 for the Target Center, which was backed up by $750,000 a year. Those payments continue. St. Paul has financed its River Center totally on its own without any state support. And if we're going to draw comparisons to cities around the state, I'm happy to do so. This year, the DEC in Duluth, I think, what, the Bemidji Convention Center, the St. Cloud Hockey Arena, support for the Gopher Football Stadium in Minneapolis, and the list goes on. St. Paul is the only city that is paying for these facilities entirely on its own. The only city.
The obligation then that we would be picking up with this motion is $34.75 million over 15 years.
That's correct, that sounds correct, Mr. Chairman.
That's a quick calculation by Mr. Marks. Any discussion on the motion?
What's the motion?
The motion is
to
include it.
To take essentially the Senate position on the Xcel Energy, which would have the state picking up the balance of the interest-free loan for the next 15 years at $34.75 million. And I guess the high point is about $4 million per year. Mr. Mausman,
Mr. Chair, members, I had forgotten earlier that the language is actually in the bill. The high point is years 2016 through 20 at $4.75 million per year.
Just a little under five then.
So by today's standards, it would be about $300,000.
By today's standards,
In 2020, $4 million by virtue of 2008 dollars, will be $300,000, I think.
Interesting accounting.
That's an estimate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm trying to, if it's already in, what is the motion that's before us?
Well, we haven't adopted it,
I see.
Representative Osmond. I said it was a Senate position. It hasn't been adopted yet.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman and members, when we adopted the economic development article, Senator Representative Carlson and I agreed we would set that portion aside. So we adopted the rest of the article, but not that section 29.
That was on hold. Representative Osmond.
And, Mr. Chair, we're in a deficit situation, and we're going to give how much over the years to the same.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Osmond, keep in mind that in the deficit, we save money. There's a contribution of $1.5 million to the deficit this year, and for the next biennium, there's a contribution of $500,000. Now, if the deficit continues for the next 4, 5, 6 years, obviously this is statutory. We can always revisit it if we find that it's unaffordable. But for the next 2 years when we do expect deficits, this actually contributes to the deficit reduction.
Representative Osmond.
And the long-term debt forgiveness is how much again?
Mr. Chairman,
$34.75 million is what Mr. Marks quickly calculated, and or maybe it's actually in the bill. It's in the bill. And it reaches a high point for several years of $4.75
million. Mr. Chairman, again, at the end from 2016 to 2020. Is that the final year, 2020, I believe? Yeah.
So it wouldn't be quite 15 years.
Yes.
More like 12. Representative Wagenius.
Help me out here. It has been my understanding that folks from St. Paul and Minneapolis have been talking with folks from Bloomington to find some solution that works for everyone and not just one of our big cities. And does this undercut that effort?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, I have no idea. I'm not involved with those discussions, but if members would like to keep this bill open and meet later in the week or something as those discussions continue, I'd be happy to do that. We don't necessarily have to finish the bill right now. But again, I can go through chapter and verse of where every city in the state, not every city, but the larger cities in the state, get convention centers, they get hockey arenas, and they get big football stadiums and bigger baseball stadiums, and St. Paul does everything on its own. There's not been a state dollar, except for the interest-free portion of this loan, that St. Paul has not absorbed on its own. And that's not true of any other, of the other cities. And all you have to do is look at the bonding bill that was passed this year. How many cities do we have? Duluth, Bemidji, St. Cloud, Rochester, that I can recollect.
Crookston.
Look at, again, what we've done in the past. And, again, Representative Carlson, Mr. Chairman, you referenced where we were 10 years ago. 10 years ago, Minneapolis received $80 million in a bonding authorization for the convention center. St. Paul received zero. So we're doing it after the fact, no question. But it strikes me that equity demands that St. Paul be treated like every other town in the state. And Representative Wagenius, let me make it clear, I'm not somebody in the course of my legislative career who has only been here just for the sake of the city of St. Paul. I've done a lot of major things for St. Paul, but I have attempted to take a statewide perspective on many issues and have not played the game, as many others have, of the tit-for-tat that your area got something, my area now needs to get something, and that I've made sure that if we did something major for us, for a city in the state or for something that was located in the city, some city in the state, that there needed to be an accounting. This is a place where there has simply been inequitable treatment, and it's replete through appropriation bills and bonding bills and tax bills over the last number of years. If you just want to do it over the last 3 or 4 years, again, I talked about the bonding bill. 2 years ago, we appropriated $9 million a year for a tremendous new football stadium in the city of Minneapolis. And we can argue that that's for the University of Minnesota.
I guess.
But it happens to be in Minneapolis, and the visitors to that stadium and the money spent in and around that stadium will be spent in the city of Minneapolis, not the city of St. Paul. And that was $9 million a year, if I recall correctly. $9 million. And that's right now, and that's being paid right now.
We do something for the award winners.
Mr. Chair. And Minneapolis doesn't get property tax dollars from that. Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, last year when we had the economic development bill and the proposal for the River Center was in that, I remember standing on the floor and listening or defending the economic development bill with the River Center in it and the proposal at that time. And I have no objection to a proposal that on the River Center this year. But I've also served, and just for information, since we're making comparisons and so forth, I've also served on the bonding bill for many years, the bonding committee for at least 12 years. And during that time, several times projects have been brought up on the need to contribute money to a particular project because we've never received state help for the River Center. And we're doing that on our own, and so there are other projects. I don't think in the kinds of proposals that were you mentioned, we can compare apples to apples. But we have to look at it from a statewide perspective, and we have to look at things from their merits. And economic situations are different now than when St. Paul said we're going to go on our own. And so you're rightfully coming to the legislature and asking for assistance. And I think that's fine. But when you talk about the deck, and you've mentioned it three times this year, you've acted like, or you've implied that it's just like any other project. And indeed it isn't like any other project in the sense that, and I'm saying this just because people should know, and people don't know. And I'm as defensive about that as you are about having to ask for the River Center, is that the deck is a statewide authority, and the governor appoints part of the DEC board. And so the makeup of it is different. But nevertheless, we too understand how you feel. And so, Representative or Senator Cohen, I support your request.
Mr. Chairman, let me respond to Representative Murphy. One, I appreciate the support you've offered for the River Center in the past. I do need to make it clear that didn't pass last year, but I appreciate your support. Second, let me make it clear. My comments relative to the deck are not a criticism. To the contrary, I've been supportive of that, have looked for finally doing it, because I think the completion of the deck and the work on the deck is of importance not only to the city of Duluth, but certainly to the entirety of northeastern Minnesota and arguably the state of Minnesota. And so I don't want you to misunderstand by my comments that I am any way critical of what we did for the deck. Because I happen to be the person who thinks that the inclusion of these kinds of efforts make a difference for the state of Minnesota. And although I'm not involved in the bonding process as I was for a number of years at this juncture, that's why I suggested. I've not been somebody who, on say, the bonding conference committee, over the years I served on the bonding conference committee, would say, well, okay, St. Paul's gotten this, this, and this, and I'm not going to worry about the rest of it. Don't misunderstand me relative to the deck. I'm just suggesting that we've provided some significant support for the deck this year, and appropriately so. I would like to provide a smaller amount of support on a yearly basis for the problem we have in St. Paul. Where I criticize St. Paul is when these efforts were made, there was a sense that maybe they'd be more affordable for St. Paul. And if we had waited a few years, we might have been then viewed as everybody else. I might also add, and maybe I shouldn't get into this relative, I mean, there are a couple of things relative to this particular proposal. There is a great irony in my speaking on behalf of a professional sports arena. So that's not what I'm known for. Second, to be fair, there was a lot of politics played relative to what's now known as the Xcel Energy Center 10 years ago. And Representative Murphy and Mr. Chairman, you'll recall some of that. So, but now I'm defensive because I don't want you to think that I'm trying to make you defensive.
Well, add Marshall to your list, will you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Marshall.
I'm thinking of it's this morning now. Are we going to jeopardize the bill as a result of this?
Well,
If you want to take a roll of the dice, I'll put it. Well, should I state that or not? Or do you want to just leave it go?
No, I don't.
Yeah, okay. I was a part of the conference committee when this was set up, and it was an interest-free loan at the time. One of your former mayors, I think it was his proposal at the time. I'm not sure if it serves this conference committee to get into a big debate about which city got what when. I guess I'll accept your proposal at this point in time, and we'll see how the issue moves forward.
Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't disagree with that, certainly.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion then by Senator Cohen, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion carried.
I think so. Yeah, Representative Rukavina was on the other side of the table.
I said aye over there.
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other amendments? We've got the final amendment.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, before we do the final amendment, I know that Senator Solon has come to the conference to discuss an amendment that we have put on earlier, and I she'd probably like to address the committee.
Well, can we also have a note from Mike Mahoney? Is that the same issue?
Don't know.
Okay, whichever one of you is going to be the spokesperson, or both, I guess. There's three seats. It's the amendment dealing with the SMDC health systems that you wanted to express a few comments in support.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to come to the table. My name is Michael Mahoney.
You heard what I said.
Here on behalf of St. Mary's Duluth Clinic. I'll be brief. The committee recently adopted an amendment directing $100,000 of unrealized savings as a result of the recently enacted Medical Records Act to cover an amount not paid by SMDC to Virginia in connection with a helipad. SMDC does occupy clinic space in Virginia. SMDC and St. Luke's Hospital in Duluth were both approached by Virginia to offset the construction costs of the helipad in Virginia. That construction decision was not part of SMDC or St. Luke's, had no involvement in that agreement. Neither SMDC or St. Luke's were part of the construction agreement or any agreement thereafter in connection with the helipad. Therefore, I request that the conference committee remove that provision from the bill, and I can either answer any questions that you might have now or in the future. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions? Senator Solon, do you have anything to add?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My comments are more general, and I'm very, very concerned about the heavy load that has been placed on hospitals in this bill, with the rateable reduction, the deferral of the rebasing, the inpatient 3% reduction. The hospitals are being hit very, very hard. And for one hospital to be singled out for this specific charge that really has no merit, I think just adds insult to injury. So I really do hope that you would reconsider this.
Okay, any question of the or questions of the witnesses? Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I think when Representative Rukavina was explaining this to us originally, and tell me if I remember incorrectly, please, but I thought that you said that they had promised to contribute this amount to the helipad and have not yet paid it. But I think Mr. Mahoney said that they weren't part of that agreement. So,
Mr. Chair,
am I hearing things that I didn't hear?
I never said that, and I didn't.
Maybe I just dreamed it then.
Senator Tomasoni offered the amendment. But here's.
I really did dream it then, didn't I?
Here's the. I didn't offer. The project is a $2 million. The helipad costs $2 million, and 9 out of every 10 people that fly off that helipad fly right into the St. Mary's Hospital. And their CEO, Mr. Person, when they were dedicating the Duluth Clinic, which the people of the City of Virginia bonded for and built for the Duluth Clinic, Mr. Person and Senator Tomasoni was there, promised they would contribute, and they never contributed. They just said, sorry, we're not going to contribute to the project. So this helps them contribute. It's a $2 million project, and 9 out of 10 customers fly to their hospital. I tried to get them to fly over Duluth and make obscene gestures, and I even went to the Mayo Clinic, but they told me I couldn't do that because the patients' lives would be jeopardized. They have to go to the nearest hospital, and that's where they go. 9 out of 10 patients. The other one patient flies to St. Luke's in Duluth. So that's what the issue is about.
Okay. Well, thank you. We have a final article, Article 1. And I think I'll just have Mr. Watson. Would you be the one, or
Mr. Chairman?
Or Mr. Marks? I'm not sure who will explain it. I know it was in your pile there.
Mr. Chairman, this just shows the appropriations that were in the article as we came into the meeting today, and the transfers in. There will be a few changes as a result of the changes in appropriations that you just made.
Okay. Senator Cohen,
Mr. Chairman, I'd move Article 1 summary.
Adoption of the Article 1 summary. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, and I assume apply to that notion is to make whatever adjustments are necessary.
That's coming.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mossman wanted to make one reference to TANF.
Thank you, Mr. Mossman.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, members, and it may be that it's relevant to Senator Betzold's question. We just want to be clear that this Article 26 that you adopted earlier for Health and Human Services is updating session law from 2007, Chapter 147. And related to TANF, this session we also have recently enacted Chapter 282, I believe it is, which changes the TANF appropriations. And we just want you to be able to give us clear direction that we can amend the TANF appropriations as necessary and here to make sure it conforms.
Yeah, I'm going to be making that motion shortly. So any discussion on the motion then?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Michael. Mr. Fredrickson?
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, that would be glad you noticed that. We would get the whole community excited. Just about that one. We're all set. Yeah. Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. I'm going to make that motion. Yeah,
and then, Mr. Chairman, I'd move to direct the staff to amend, correct internal references, correct any technical errors, and renumber accordingly as needed.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. What do you got? Oh. Should I point out that we decided that we wouldn't sign the report for a while pending negotiations? Yep. I think that people should understand that. Okay.
Do you want to make the final motion and then make that clear?
Do you want to make it now and then we make it before we adjourn?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Senator Cohen.
Chairman, if there's nothing else in front of this committee, I'd move that the conference committee report on House File 1812 be adopted.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those.
Mr. Chairman, there are other negotiations going on concerning the budget. And I was going to
make that announcement after we.
So we're going to hold.
Well, maybe I should. Maybe I should make it before Senator Cohen and I. And I hope he chimes in. We had a meeting with Commissioner Hansen this morning, and what we told him was that we would be adopting the final article tonight, and basically putting the bill together. But we wouldn't be signing the conference committee report or circulating it for signature. Until we saw how the negotiations were going with the governor, just in case there would have to be a reopening and some adjustments as a result of those negotiations. So I think I framed it pretty accurately. Senator Cohen, you were at the same meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I concur. We had a pleasant meeting with both Commissioner Hansen and Ms. Bordelon from the governor's office was also present. And I've circulated to, and I apologize, Senator Frederickson. I realize I haven't gotten to you a copy of what was distributed, but I do have extra copies. So we got
put on the internet. They were not. Okay. We'll make sure that everybody gets copies of them then.
Mr. Chairman, members have seen a lot of what's on this list before. It certainly is a slimmed down version from what had been prepared for us a couple of weeks ago. And we had the chance to talk to Commissioner Hansen about questions we had about some of what's specified on this list. I certainly think from our conversations, some of this is workable, some of this is more difficult. But I would concur with, Mr. Chairman, with what you've suggested, which is that I hope that the motion I just made is adopted by this conference committee. We'll have the bill prepared. It's a House file, so, Mr. Chairman, I assume you'll have the copies delivered to you originally, and you'll take them to your basement or something to be kept safely until we have some sense or some other appropriate place.
I'll have my lock and key on the fourth floor then.
Okay. And that we'll have the conference committee report available for signature. We will continue the negotiations with the administration. I have every hope and expectation that they'll go well. I can't guarantee that. And then we'll have the ability to reassemble if needed as a conference committee if we think there are appropriate changes to be made. If that's not the case, we'll have the conference committee report ready for signature.
Does that answer your question then, Senator Frederickson?
Mr. Chairman, it does. I was wondering if we can't freeze it, have a chance to read the conference committee report.
Well, but I, Senator Cohen and I haven't talked about this, but what I generally have done in the past before we would actually sign it, once it's put together, we generally have a walkthrough. And if I think that's what you're asking, but we haven't really talked about that. I suppose we could do that sooner or later, but the main point that we wanted to make, as long as negotiations are going on, we didn't intend to circulate the conference committee report for signature. But if it's the desire of the conference committee to walk through it prior to circulating it for signature, we could certainly consider that. We can talk about that. But that's generally what we would do before, you know, we would have it there for signature.
And Mr. Chairman, that would be the appropriate way to go, is to have it prepared, have it available for our review. Again, if there was the need to make a technical correction of some sort that was not caught by staff, we could do so. Obviously, everybody would like to get out of here as quickly as possible. But you know, this is not a situation where we're finishing a major conference committee at Sunday morning, the day before adjournment. You know, the staff certainly doesn't have to work through the night to prepare this. They can work not at a leisurely pace, but certainly at an appropriate pace to try to finish this over the next couple of days, and we can get back together and review it. And again, keep it open for signature. Obviously, it's going to be well known what's in this bill. And so in discussions and negotiations with the administration, we have the ability to, they'll know what's in the bill, we'll have the ability to respond, and then we can get together, Mr. Chairman, at an appropriate time to review the bill.
Any other discussion? Representative Osmond.
Mr. Chair, I really encourage you to work with the governor's office and get these things completed. I cannot sign this bill. It is too far off the mark with regard to the needs of many people and across the state of Minnesota, and I think that I really encourage you to try and fix it.
Even if the governor endorses it?
What was that?
I said even if the governor endorses it, you won't sign.
If the governor endorses it, we'll. As is, that would be a stretch.
I think there is going to be, when we met with Commissioner Hansen this morning, we made it very clear that we were not going to circulate the conference committee report for signature pending the outcome of the negotiations. So my hope is that those negotiations go well and the issues can be resolved, and we'll take it from there. If there are changes that are negotiated that would be acceptable to this conference committee or the tax conference committee or working group, I guess, at this point, that's also in play. It's a little bit hard to predict other than we're within the last couple of weeks, so I suspect things, if they're going to break, will probably break fairly quickly. Representative Rukavina.
Chair, who's this Bill Area guy that passed this out?
Bill Area.
Bill Area.
Is this the governor of the Wisconsin?
Bill Area.
Yeah. That was passed out by Senator Cohen had passed it out to senators, and I saw to it that House members had a copy.
Mr. Chairman, it was prepared by the administration. It's what Commissioner Hansen and Ms. Borland gave to us this morning.
Okay. And that must be one of their staff people.
It's a deputy commissioner.
Is that what? Oh, okay.
Commissioner Area.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. Chair, just a comment that you made a few minutes ago. It's possible that this bill could be sitting around for a little while before it is presented for signature, and it's possible, unlikely, but it's possible that as staff is reviewing the amendments, they may decide that there's things just beside number alignments, that there's actually some technical changes that have to be made. What's the best way of dealing with that? I don't think you want to bring back the whole conference committee to do something that is purely technical. Is there a way that we can have the two chairs in consultation with the conferees agree that, you know, if something is discovered, to just be able to direct staff to make the changes before the final report is prepared? Yeah,
that was the motion that was made.
It's my understanding the motion just meant aligning the budget sheet, but there may be other policy or technical things that may be beyond the budget. I mean, it's there may be things in here that may be, you know, more technical that are going beyond just numbers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and the if
Senator Cohen.
Well, I think what Senator Betzel suggests is a good idea, and we'll just simply have to use our judgment as to what works. And certainly, if we find that there is something that goes beyond the motion that we just passed, certainly the staff can talk to the two chairs of the conference committee and then the appropriate division chairs and see if that's something of a minor nature.
I think it would have to be something of substance. With the motion we passed, it says we said we direct staff to amend, correct internal references, correct any technical errors, and number accordingly. So what you're talking about would be technical errors, and I think we've just authorized that to be done. If it's something beyond that, obviously they'll draw it to our attention, and then Senator Cohen and I will have to make a judgment on whether it's something we could just round robin and inform committee members of, or whether it would be necessary to convene.
Okay.
But we may convene again depending on what the negotiations are. That's the point we were making, because we did not want to finalize this from the standpoint then of the final review and signatures pending what's going on between leadership and the governor and others with the negotiations. So with that,
I would renew my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? Hearing none then, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Motion. No.
Motion carried. And with that, we will adjourn.
We're going to take a break.